start me at the very beginning. Something happens on Ethereum. What happens on our side?
Nothing at all, for a moment. A block gets produced every 12 seconds or so. Inside it are transactions, and some of those move money. That's the part we care about.
So why can't the website just ask the node when someone loads a page?
Because of the shape of the question. A node will happily tell you what is inside block 21 million. It will not tell you every transfer Binance made last Tuesday.
It doesn't know.
It has no index like that. It has blocks in order, and that's basically it. Our whole product is the other kind of question. So we have to copy the chain into our own database, shaped for the questions we actually ask.
Fine, so one program reads blocks and writes them to Postgres.
That's the right instinct, and it's roughly what the first job does. It's called EVM2 stream. There is one of it running per chain. Its entire job is get blocks out of the node and put them somewhere we own.
And it writes them into the transactions table.
No, and that's the first interesting decision. It writes one row per block into a table called the block queue, and that row is the raw block, untouched. The header, the receipts, the execution traces, exactly as the node handed them over.
Unpassed, that seems lazy.
It seems lazy until you ask who needs that block, because it isn't one thing, it's five.
Five.
Five different jobs want that block, for five completely different reasons, and they run at completely different speeds. One of them is doing arithmetic on balances. One is calling out to the node again to work out what a token is. Those take wildly different amounts of time.
So the streamer does all five and moves on.
Then the slowest of the five decides how fast we ingest the chain. And if any one of them fails, you've lost the block, because nobody wrote it down.
Right, so write it down first.
Write it down first. One row, one block raw, that table is the landing strip. Once the block is in there, it is safe, and the streamer's job is done, it goes back to the node for the next one.
And then the five jobs read it.
Each on its own schedule. And this is the part I'd want you to hold on to, because everything downstream is the same pattern. Nobody gets pushed anything. Every job pulls.
What does pulling look like?
Each row in the queue has a number that only ever goes up. Each reader keeps a bookmark, a single row in a small table that says, this job has read up to 4,092. It wakes up, asks for anything newer than its bookmark, does its work, and moves the bookmark.
That's it.
That's genuinely it, and notice what it buys you. If one reader is down for an hour, nothing else even notices. It comes back, its bookmark is still where it was, and it works through the backlog. The chain never stopped being ingested.
Okay, tell me the five.
Four plus an archive. The first is called EVM2 process, and it's the one that does what you originally expected. It takes that raw block and turns it into rows you can actually query. A row in the blocks table. A row per transaction. A row per log. And crucially, a row per transfer in a table called any transfers.
Any transfers being what?
Every movement of value in that block in one place, whatever kind it was. Someone sending ether. A token transfer. An internal movement inside a contract call. Different mechanisms on the chain, one table for us, because a user doesn't care which mechanism moved their money.
That's the table I'd want then.
That's the spine of the product, yes.
What's the second job?
Contracts. When a transaction creates a new contract, somebody has to work out what it actually is. Is it a token? Which token? What's the symbol? How many decimals? Is it an NFT collection? Is it a trading pool? That job writes the contracts table, the tokens table, the NFT table.
Why is that not part of the first one?
Because it has to go back out to the node and ask questions, and that's slow, and it fails. You do not want the job that turns blocks into rows to be blocked behind a flaky network call about a token symbol.
Third.
Accounting balances. Who holds what right now, and what did they hold at any point in the past?
Can't you just add up the transfers when someone asks?
For one address over a week, sure. For every address on Ethereum over 8 years, absolutely not. So we keep running totals and update them as blocks arrive.
And that one needs the first two to have finished.
It does, and it says so. It won't read past whichever of those two is further behind. Not because someone timed it, because it declares out loud that it depends on them.
And the fourth?
The fourth is the one I'd call the most interesting, and it's called the enricher. Take a transfer. Right now it's a row that says this address sent that address a number of this token in this block. That is true, and it is almost useless to a human.
Because I don't know who those addresses are.
Exactly. So the enricher attaches the meaning. It looks up whether we know that address, is this Binance's hot wallet, is it a sanctioned entity, is it labeled. It works out which token it is. It works out what that was worth in dollars at that moment.
And writes that to a table.
It writes it to a second queue.
Another one.
Another one for exactly the same reason as the first. The enriched transfer is what the rest of the company wants. The search index wants it. The alerting system wants it. The people building delivery want it. So rather than the enricher calling all of them, it writes the thing down once, and they read it.
So it's the same pattern nested inside itself.
It's the same pattern, and there's one more thing about that second queue. It is not Ethereum-shaped. A Solana transfer lands in it in exactly the same form. That queue is the boundary where the chain stops mattering.
So everything after it is written once and works everywhere.
That's the payoff, yes.
All right, who reads the enriched queue?
Several things, but the one you'd recognize is called Async, and it writes documents into Elasticsearch.
Hold on, we already have Postgres. Why a second database?
Because they are good at different questions. Ask Postgres what is in block 21 million, and it's instant. Ask it for every transfer touching this address across 5 years, sorted by dollar value, filtered to 3 tokens, that's a search problem, and Elasticsearch is a search engine.
So which one is the truth?
Postgres is the truth. Elasticsearch is a derived copy. And you can tell, because if you deleted the whole search index tomorrow, we would rebuild it from the queue and lose nothing.
That's a good test, actually.
It's the test I'd apply to any store in a system like this. Could you throw it away and regenerate it? If yes, it's a view. If no, it's the truth and it needs looking after.
Let me try to say it back. The chain gets read by one job into one raw table. 4 jobs read that table and each writes its own thing, rows, contracts, balances, and enriched transfers. The enriched transfers go into a second queue and search reads that.
That's the whole shape.
Then what's the archive you mentioned?
One more reader, but a fussy one. It writes each block out to permanent storage, files that never change.
Why is that fussy?
Because of something I've skipped, and I should tell you now. A block that exists can stop existing.
How?
2 miners find a block at almost the same moment. For a few seconds, the network disagrees about which one is real, and then it settles, and one of them is discarded. Everything in the discarded block goes back to not having happened.
So we've already written it into 6 tables.
We have, and here's how that's handled, and it is, I think, the single nicest decision in the whole thing. We do not go back and edit the queue. The queue is append only. What we append is a note that says, the block at this height with this hash is dead. And then, after it, the replacement.
And every reader sees the note.
Every reader sees the note, in the same position in the same order, and undoes its own work in its own tables. The balances job reverses its arithmetic. The search index deletes its documents. Nobody has to coordinate with anybody, because they're all reading the same story in the same order.
Which is why the archive is fussy.
Right, a file that's already written can't be unwritten. So the archive only ever takes blocks that the chain has declared final. It runs deliberately behind everyone else.
So where does the website actually read from?
Postgres for anything exact, this block, this transaction, this balance. Elasticsearch for anything that's a search. And that's the API, which is the last box on the diagram.
Give me the one sentence.
One job pulls the chain into one table. Everything else in the building is a reader of that table, or a reader of something a reader produced.
And the reason it's built that way.
So that adding a sixth consumer costs nothing, and so that no consumer, however slow or however broken, can stop us ingesting the chain.